Well, this morning we are returning to the narrative lectionary. In October, we had our Giving 2020 theme, and we're going to go back to the Old Testament today, to 1 Kings, and this is going to be a little long of a passage, but there's lots of action, so please stay with the action. If it helps you to close your eyes and kind of visualize what's happening here in Israel, feel free to do that. And again, this is going to be coming from chapter 18, and we'll read verses 17 to 39, and if you want to follow along with your eyes open, then that's on page 283 in your pew Bible. So here we go, God's word for us today. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" He answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, have an Israel assembly for me at Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ezra who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets number 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is indeed God." All the people answered, "Well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. Then call on the name of your God. Put no fire to it." So they took the bull that was given them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying, "Oh, Baal, answer us." But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud. Surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no answer, and no response. Then Elijah came and said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain two measures of seed. Next, he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill four jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again, he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all of these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets and Baal. Do not let one of them escape." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's join in prayer together. Gracious God, we know that your word, it speaks to us. It challenges us to think about stories like this and what do they mean for our lives today. God, especially as we come this day remembering the saints of our lives, those people who taught us about what it means to take a stand. Help us, God, to fill our hearts with thanksgiving, to be in a spirit of graciousness for the lives that you have offered to us. Help us, God, always to yield our way to your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm not sure how many experts we have here on this prophet, Elijah. He was a man who, in many ways, felt alone. He felt like he was the only one, right? The only prophet who was continuing to keep this covenant that they had made with God. Think back to Abraham and Jacob, right? This sense of we are all called together to worship one God. But what's happened is that this whole sense of competition. Anyone here know anything about competition? It happens. It happens in our life, in our jobs, in our families. Does anyone ever have a contest of who's grandma's favorite grandchild? That sense of tension, of trying to identify what or whom do we give our passion to in our life. The Israelites found themselves in a divided nation. Elijah is there with them in the north, feeling this abandonment, that there were no others who continued to worship the one true God. And so Elijah has this idea of, let's have a little contest. Let's see, really, who has the power in this world. And so he brings them together, and you heard me read the long passage, right? Giving the descriptions of exactly what they were to do. And when the fire doesn't come, it's not provided by their God, there is this sense of Elijah mocking them. Now, what do we teach our children and our grandchildren, right? Don't make fun of people. Don't tease people. Elijah somehow missed that lesson in kindergarten. Because he's really strong in pointing out to them that this God that they worship and so adore is not there for them and providing for them. Now, I want you to think about what would that have felt like for them, for those followers of Baal, to call out and nothing happens. Embarrassed, wondering, where did we go wrong? Elijah wants them to understand that they have to take a stand. The text says they have different opinions. The Hebrew word there really is talking about an image from a tree in which the limbs go like this, and one has to make a decision about where are we going to give our passion? To whom will we give our devotion? To whom will we be steadfast in our lives? What does it mean for us to take a stand in what we believe? Think about those saints in your life. People who have taken a stand. Maybe it was rooting for the Cubs over the Cardinals. Maybe it was trying to instruct you on how to water ski. People have strong opinions, right? Or who to vote for. But what people in our lives really taught us about taking a stand for God, that faith was going to be an important part of our lives. Who are those people for us? Do we stop and do we thank God for the teachers, for parents or grandparents? Maybe it was a neighbor who brought you to church because your parents didn't. I had three pastors in my life growing up, all very different. And my parents would, of course, talk about them, right? Y'all never talk about Pastor Dan or I know, at home. Ha ha. But pastors are very visible. How many people notice when the pastor gets a haircut, right? How many people notice when pastors are having a hard time and say, we're here with you, we're praying with you? People in our lives, these relationships, that's what Elijah wants the Israelites to know. That when we can all be unison and agreeing on the importance of faith, and not only our lives, but in the lives of our children and grandchildren, and the lives of the community in which we live. That's the message here. Don't get lost in the violence and the fire. It's really Elijah saying, one God that the New Testament teaches us comes through the gift of Jesus and the incarnation. Is Jesus where we put our passion in life? There are a lot of public people in our lives, and we're quick to notice them, right? The ways in which they do right and the ways in which perhaps they don't. The cover of People magazine or Us magazine, they tell us all of the woes and trials. It becomes kind of a burden to us, and we wonder, is there anybody out there? This week I read an article by Don Anderson, and he talks about the importance of All Saints Day, what we're celebrating today together. He writes, I had a conversation with a friend on Thursday wishing her a blessed All Saints Day. I asked her who her favorite saint was. For her, it was Saint Jude. I asked her, or she went on to tell me, that this patron saint was one of desperate cases and lost causes. The work of Saint Jude's Children's Hospital came to my mind right away. So then the question was returned to me, and I did not have an immediate response. Throughout the day, I pondered, and surprisingly, I was reminded quite a few times of Fred Rogers. So much so that I was prompted to watch the recent documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? So I did, and I have long thought of his work as being so significant on the level of child and parent and community involvement. But I didn't realize how much more he did. So now I have a response. My patron saint is Fred Rogers, better known as Mr. Rogers. Even now, or maybe I should say especially now, his words of hope and humanity and realness touch my soul in deep and holy ways, and they guide me toward a better and a much more full life. I guess in my eyes, that's what a saint would do. I think we all have our saints. I wonder who yours is. Think about the presence of God through those people in your life, perhaps who have gone to be with Christ in heaven, or perhaps the saint sitting next to you in the pew or the choir loft, who puts up with you, who encourages you to be you, who reminds you of your purpose in this life. Elijah, a saint that teaches us about how much we need that sense of Christ's presence. I close today with a poem combining this whole idea of falling back as we had perhaps some extra sleep and All Saints Day. Today we fall back, not just with our clocks that usher in the darker days of winter, but also we fall back upon our memories of loved ones gone from this realm. We fall back upon the emptiness that we still sometimes feel at their absence. we fall back upon our gratefulness that such a cloud of witnesses paved the way for us. We fall back upon our faith that just as the holy walked with them, so too the holy walks with us. And today, let us also fall back into the arms of loved ones still with us and remember to tell them just how much they mean to us. Today, let us fall back into the ever-present arms of the Holy One, remembering to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen.